All right, so I'm back with Brother Kuo, and we're in Proverbs 12. This is part 2. We are at verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. That reminds me of the other verse in Proverbs where it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end thereof it leads to death. And so fools think they're right, but when you're not matching up to God's wisdom and God's word, you're not right at all, are you, brother?
Right, no, because the law is a lamp, or the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Yeah, that's how that verse goes. And it's like, the fool will try to do his own way, do his own thing, try to climb in through another way, as Jesus said, like thieves and robbers climb in over the fence, they try to get in around the gate. It's always right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth up to counsel is wise, and that's the good secret counsel of the Lord, first and foremost, and then other saints as well.
Amen, amen. I looked up that word fool. I just want to see what it said. In Hebrew, it's evil. Evil. And it, you know what it means? Again, if I say this to people, they're going to call me wrong and a reviler and all this. Silly. Ready? It also means perverse. It also means licentious. I think that's interesting. A silly, perverse, licentious man. If I use those words, people go, oh my, you're so mean-spirited. But the word of God cuts like a sword, doesn't it, brother?
Yeah, I like how it's like, of one who despises wisdom, one who mocks when guilty, one who is quarrelsome, like all of these terrible traits, that's a fool.
Yep. That's a fool. And it says, so a fool's way is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So obviously good and godly counsel. So that's a person that says, is humble, is meek enough. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. You're meek enough to know, in the Gospels he told us that, you're meek enough to know you don't know everything, and maybe I should take counsel. That could be from God's word. That could be from a trusted brother. So you're meek enough to take counsel and humble enough. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, taking counsel is absolutely necessary, and we're called to submit one to another in the scriptures, the saints are, because we each have our own separate gifts, our own separate abilities and whatnot, and it's like the body. We have to submit to each other. It's like your own body. It's like the hand has to submit to the arm in order to work correctly and
amen.
Whatnot.
Yeah, amen. And I love that word wise, because Jesus talks about that. Whoever builds his house upon my sayings or does, builds his house upon a rock, or whoever does my sayings is wise. Jesus talked about being wise a lot. And I think, would you agree with this statement? In order to find salvation and walk in it and maintain it, you have to use wisdom, don't you, brother?
Oh, yeah. And the wisdom is not this world's wisdom, too.
Amen.
A lot of people get tripped up by that. It's not intellectualism and whatnot. It's submitting yourself to the word of God, becoming as a little child. I love how the Lord takes the world's wisdom and just flips it on his head and said, you have to become like little children in order to see the kingdom of God. And that's really cool. I like that.
Amen. Amen. Verse 16, brother.
A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame.
Yeah. I'm looking up a verse here. I'm looking up the word. Go ahead, brother.
I'll say, a fool's wrath, they don't think about what they're saying. So when they get angry or fleshly or whatever it might be, you know that a fool is angry because he makes it presently known, but
yeah.
A prudent man, a man who is very watchful about what he says, what he does, make sure it's right, aligned with the word of God, whatever it might be, he covers shame. So he's always watchful to make sure nothing's, he's not showing any nakedness. As the Lord said, don't let your nakedness show.
Yeah.
A revelation, you have to cover it with his righteousness, his blood, and whatnot. So,
yeah, Yeah, and when I think of that, I think of this verse from Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. So what I think about that verse, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers shame. So the fool, he likes to dish out wrath, but a prudent man knows vengeance is the Lord's. I better just take care and do what I'm supposed to be doing. The Lord's going to take care of everything else.
Yeah, amen to that.
Kind of waiting on the Lord, right?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the words here.
It makes me think of in the book of Revelation where it says these are the ones dressed in white that were come out of the Revelation that were martyred, and they're like, Lord, how long before you avenge us? They look to God for the avenging. They don't go, oh, we're so mad, we'd like to hack them all apart with swords ourselves. They say, Lord, how long before you avenge us? They look for the Lord and his vengeance because they know it's just and it's right.
Yeah, amen. And another, I just thought of this, another way you could take this verse, a fool's wrath is presently known, which means he's not ashamed of his sin. He's not ashamed of the words he's saying. So he makes it presently known. But a prudent man covereth shame. A man, perhaps that he knows that he sinned, or perhaps he spoke something out of line or said something out of line, he covers that shame. He repents of it, gets it covered by the blood of Christ, walks in the light, and he covers that shame. He doesn't want to make any more shame known.
Amen.
He doesn't want to sin anymore.
Amen. Amen. I got a verse for you, brother. I just did a teaching on this. Proverbs 14:16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Would that fit in here?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. All right. So this one right here, we were just out at a church today, Baptist church, standing outside peacefully. This verse is for us today, brother and sister Amin. She's sitting there listening. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. When we stand and we speak truth, it's righteousness. Yet they, how many men did you see walking around with Bibles today, brother? Not one man would open it.
Yeah, I mean, the Baptists are very proud walking around with their Bibles, yet I didn't see one cracked open and read the whole day.
And yeah, go to truth. So he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. Look at that. Ephesians 5:9, part of the gifts of the Spirit, goodness, truth, righteousness. So when we defend truth, when we speak truth, when we stand for sound doctrine, when we call out those that are defaming our Lord's name, doctrine, word, and ways, we are acting for righteousness. When they defend all their lies and their sin, they're the other side of this. But a false witness, deceit. Are they not false witnesses against the truth, my brother?
Yeah, and I think about, I have another verse came to mind.
I love, while you're looking for that, I love how truth and righteousness are tied together, and false witness and deceit. False and deceit are tied together. And that, again, that's the battle line that we are fighting for spiritually in this world, is truth and righteousness versus lies, wickedness, and evil. That is what this battle is all about. It's not us against churchianity. It's about the truth and righteousness against lies and sin and evil.
Yeah, amen. And I found a verse that didn't come to mind originally, but this one will work. Proverbs 6:17-19. Or 16-19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, that's a famous verse. We use it all the time to warn people. Everybody thinks homosexuality is the only abomination, but there's a lot of things that God abhors as an abomination. By the way, the word abomination means it's disgusting to him. Proud Amen. Looks and lying tongues and those that sow discord. Yeah, that's a good one, brother. How about verse 18, brother?
There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health.
Yeah, that just, I got to go look for a verse in James when we're talking about tongue, because that's what he's talking about, how wicked and how hurtful the tongue can be, right? James, oh, yeah. James 3:8, but the tongue can no man tame. It's unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. There's a right way to use the tongue. There's a wrong way. And so I'd like to contrast James saying the wrong way to use the tongue and it's poison. And then I'd like to contrast and take you to our Savior in Revelation who comes back and out of his mouth comes the sword, the word of God. That's the right way to use. So there's a right and a wrong way. Amen, brother?
Yeah, amen. And I think it's interesting that they use the image of a sword for the wicked piercing like a sword, like the wrong kind of piercing where it's like damaging people. And then there's the tongue of the wise, which is the sword. The word of God is health. So amen. That sword cuts for the betterment, but the wicked cut for the worse.
Yeah, amen, brother. And that word health means, let's see. That word health means properly health, cure, profit, sound. Yeah, just what it says. Yeah, absolutely. It just keeps showing us this contrast between righteousness and evil, good, light and dark, good and evil, righteousness versus sin. Yeah, it just keeps Proverbs just, it's kind of like almost like a teeter-totter, just keeps taking you back from the good to the evil, the good to the evil, doesn't it? It makes such a contrast, doesn't it?
Yeah, amen. And that word health, I actually saw one of the words, it said medicine when I looked up that word, and that reminded me of Matthew 9, verse 12 and 13. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Amen. Amen. The words of our Lord, that brings us health, doesn't it, brother, spiritually?
Amen.
Yeah. Verse 19, brother.
The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment.
Yeah, and again, I love this because that's what we're all about. We speak truth. We tell truth. We warn people about lies. We tell them the future is in the truth, that judgment comes to those that live in lies. And I just love how God's word props up what we're supposed to be about. The lip of truth shall be established forever. The word of God, his truth. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit of truth, John 16. This is all what we stand for. It's what we're all about. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. This is the battleground. The truth of the Lord. It's who he is. It's what his word and his spirit is. Versus, let's see, brother. Who's the father of lies?
Satan.
Mm-hmm. And if you can't hear the truth, Jesus said in John 8, your father is Satan. You're a child of the devil. Those people today at that Baptist church that did not hear the truth of God's word being proclaimed, sound doctrine, they're sadly children of the devil. That's what Jesus said.
Oh, yeah. And this verse reminds me of when it says a lying tongue is but for a moment. I think about Job 27, verse 8. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul? So I think about the hypocrisy, the hypocrites that perhaps claim to be of Christ, like we saw at the Baptist church, or people that claim to be of Christ.
Yeah.
It's like the lying tongue is but for a moment.
It's
like the hypocrite's hope is going to perish because they're outside of the truth. They're not following the truth.
Yeah, as Brother James says, all of us, but this person that's lying, they're just a vapor here today and then gone tomorrow. But yet God's people that are in the truth and in righteousness are going to live forever with him. But these people that are vapors, they're going to be gone, and the wicked will not be remembered, and they're going to be sent away into weeping and gnashing of teeth to their just rewards.
Amen.
Verse 20, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. So I think let's look at that word deceit. Fraud. Look at that. So if I was to tell somebody you're a fraud, they'd say, oh, he's using such harsh words. But if you're a deceitful person, you're a fraud. You're in guile. You're treacherous. Yeah. Treachery.
Yeah. Yeah, deceit in the heart. That's like you're being fake.
Yep.
It's like the fakeness is in the heart of them that imagine evil. And we go back to the seven abominations, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations.
Yep. Yep, this kind of matches up to it. And when I think of deceit is in the heart, I think of Matthew 15. Jesus said, you worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me, keeping man-made traditions. That's deceit in their heart for the Lord.
And we go back to the verses just before that, saying, like, the thoughts of the righteous are right.
The thoughts of the righteous are right. Here it's contrasting, but deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. Imagine evil. So we're just talking about the Tower of Babel and man's doing anything he could imagine from the book of Genesis. Let's see what this word imagine means. Karash, to cut, to plow, to engrave, to devise, to plot evil. Yeah, to imagine. So it's like a process of your mind, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
You're basically, it's like imagining evil. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. So they're imagining, they're plowing, they're engraving evil, imagining it.
Yeah.
And it's deceitful. They're like deceiving themselves almost.
Yeah. And help me out. Isn't there a verse in the New Testament? I think it's where Paul talks about casting down every imagination and every thought that is against Christ.
Yeah.
And we have to watch out for that, because Satan can get in and give us thoughts and things in our minds, bring us wicked dreams, maybe. I don't know. All types of things. And we got to cast those things down and not be like these people that have feet that are quick to run to mischief or imagining evil. But then the second part of the verse, but to the counselors of peace is joy. I just did my teaching today on peace versus strife. Shalom, my brother. I love that. The word peace is shalom. You hear Jewish people saying it all the time, or Israelites saying it all the time. Shalom, it means completeness, safety, soundness, welfare, health, prosperity, friendship. Peace from war. I like that. Shalom. Those that are in peace, brother. It's a good thing.
Yeah, amen. We're following the Prince of Peace, and God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints.
Amen. And that word joy, we know in the New Testament, the word joy, kara, means inner calm and cheerfulness. And that's what we get, and we get the peace of God from the Holy Spirit as we walk after his ways. The Holy Spirit convicts, teaches, comforts. And so we can have the comfort and the joy and the peace of the Holy Spirit as we walk in the gospel. How about verse 21, brother?
There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief.
Yeah. Again, it's another contrasting verse. No evil shall happen to the just. I'm going to see that word just. I think I know what it means, but yeah. Yeah, ready? Righteous and lawful. How many times do we hear, oh, you're so acting so righteous? Do they not, the people of this nation we live in that are claiming Christ, do they not treat righteousness as like almost like a dirty word, brother?
Yeah, it's almost like to be righteous, it's like they always throw out that pejorative, like, Pharisee, Pharisee. It's like the Pharisee, I mean, they obeyed God. Their sin was hypocrisy because they kept a lot of things outside of the Word of God. But it's like they obeyed God. The Pharisees obeyed God. I'm not sure why they're calling us Pharisees. We're not hypocrites. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, they're just using any ad hominem they can to get. They're looking for a cloak for their sin, brother.
Yeah.
So no evil shall happen to the just, the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Yeah, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of your life, your heart, your life is going to be lived. And that word mischief, we've talked about this a lot. Oh, my child's just being mischievous, like it's some middle ground, not so bad thing. No, mischief is bad, evil, malignant, displeasing, hurtful, wicked. It means a lot of things, doesn't it, brother?
Oh, yeah, it does, yeah. And when I think of this verse, it's like no evil happening to the just. It's like because the just use the word of God as their lamp and they're able to keep themselves from the snares, from the evil, maybe keep themselves out of bad situations, very prudent, walking circumspectly. Yeah, no evil is going to happen to the just, but yeah, the wicked is filled. And like we talked about before, we went over that verse in a separate teaching about the wicked basically taking the place of the righteous. In the snare or in those traps. So it's like they're going to be filled with those things.
Yeah, and here, this will help people say, well, what do you mean no evil happened to the just? There's evil that happens to the just. What is it talking about? If you look up that word happen, one of the meanings of it is, hold on a second, one of the meanings of it is that word happen is this, ready? To seek occasion, cause oneself to meet. So you could actually say, there shall no evil, so basically turn it around, the just do not on purpose go out and seek evil. That's really what that can mean. No evil shall happen to the just. It means we don't go forth and seek after evil. Does that make sense?
Yeah, basically the just won't meet up with evil.
Meet up, yep.
They won't fall the snare.
Amen. Yep. Amen, brother. Amen. Verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that dealeth truly are his delight. All right, so you read Proverbs 6. That covers that quite a bit, doesn't it, brother?
Yeah, an abomination, detestable. The Lord hates lying. If you read through the scriptures and don't immediately see that the Lord just despises lying, because the Lord is the truth.
Yeah. He's light, and thus darkness is opposite of him. He's truth, thus lies are opposite of him. I love this verse. John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. I love that.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah. The lips are abomination unto the Lord. I'm just reading it again. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So, yep, lying lips. But they that deal truly are his delight. Dealing truly. So we talked about that. When I think of dealing, it's like that word violence means God wants just measures. Does he not, brother?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, to do, to fashion, to accomplish. That word truly there is a little bit different meaning than what we would normally think of. I'm just looking at that word truly means emunah. It means firmness, fidelity, truly. Yeah, it means truth and steadfastness and steadiness. Yeah, it means pretty much what we would expect that to mean in English. I get it. Verse 23, brother.
A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness.
Interesting. Do we find this to be true? Prudent. Let's look up that word prudent. A cunning man. shrewd, crafty, sensible, subtle. So, a prudent man concealeth knowledge. What do you think it means by that, brother? Concealeth knowledge. It doesn't mean anything that's deceitful. What does it mean?
I think about Matthew 7, verse 6 when I think about that. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you.
Yeah.
So I think about a prudent man concealeth knowledge. He's not just going to throw it out every which way to every person that asks him for it, but a prudent man is kind of like guarded about knowledge. He knows how precious it is. And he wants to give it to the right people that are seeking it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, today I had some man at the Baptist church come up to me. He wouldn't take a gospel card. He had a very pompous attitude. And he said, so how is it we find salvation? He said it just like that. And I said, sir, I said, you're not seeking truth. And I wouldn't give him that truth. He wouldn't take the gospel card. And I had been out there, you heard me, I'd been out there preaching the gospel the whole morning. And he just came up arrogantly. Those are the kind of people we withhold knowledge from because they're just going to take that truth and they're going to trample it, aren't they, brother?
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, so don't cast. The Lord also told us don't cast our pearls, right?
Yep.
Yeah, is that? Did you just talk about casting pearls?
I did. I just read the verse.
Yeah, you read the verse, yeah. He told us about not casting pearls, and he said, careful lest they will turn and rend you too. Tear you to pieces, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Verse 24, brother.
The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute.
Hmm. Ant and the sluggard verse, what do you think?
Yeah, basically, the diligent will bear rule. If you're diligent with your labor and you don't give up, you keep going, and you're diligent at it, yeah, you're gonna be esteemed among men because you're trustworthy, you're diligent, you get the work done, you're gonna basically move up in the chain, I guess. But the slothful shall be under tribute. So he that's not trustworthy, he's gonna basically be under the man that's diligent, I guess.
Yeah, and that that word burden, tribute, means burden or tax or form of like forced labor. So, yeah, it's another one of those things, reap what you sow, hard work with your hands, and you will prosper. And that's what Proverbs is teaching us here. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful, that would be the lazy. God also hates laziness in men and women too, doesn't he?
Yeah, amen.
Slothful. 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. So let's look up that. Go ahead, brother.
I was looking at these words, like the little notes next to the words, and that word heaviness, well, actually, if you look at the word, it means anxiety.
Yeah.
So like anxious, like anxiety in the heart of man basically makes it stoop, causes depression, basically.
Yeah, to bow down.
But a good word maketh it glad.
Yeah.
So anxiety, when you're worried about something, the Lord tells us not to be anxious about anything.
Amen.
But a good word maketh it glad. So even if something comes up, it makes you a little worried or whatnot, you remember the Lord's words, especially a good word, because there is none good but one, that is God. A good word maketh it glad, and it's like, you remember the promises of the Lord. You remember the goodness of the Lord. It's like, all right, that trouble, that worry is not so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Amen. A good word. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 4:4, we live by every word out of the mouth of God. That's a good word for us right there. Amen.
Amen.
That's the good word that we need to live out and after. Verse 25. Nope, we just read 25. Verse 26. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. So again, it tells us about righteousness. That which is right before God is more excellent. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for people that will seek and hunger after righteousness, a just measure of scale, keep his commandments for the covenant you're in. We're in the new covenant today. some pre-Torah things, is more excellent than his neighbor. But the way of the wicked, again, that contrast, righteous to the wicked, seduceth them. I'll look at that word, seduceth, if I could even say it. To wander, to err, to go astray, to stagger, wander about. Intoxication. Pretty clear on that, isn't it, brother?
Yeah, this verse is interesting because that word excellent, it actually means to meander or search out, to seek. So this is one of those verses. I was kind of looking at the little notes beside it. It says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. So it's like the righteous should be aware of his neighbor, the people that he calls friends, because the way of the wicked, it's kind of like bad company corrupts good character, is this kind of proverb.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15, bad company corrupts. Definitely. And we know that's true, don't we, brother?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen definitely. That in your life?
Oh, yeah. Yep, you surround yourself with people that are either lazy in the truth of God, or perhaps pursuing the vanity and the pleasures of this world, and you can't help but being drawn into it because you don't want to be that outcast.
Amen. Amen. Verse 27, brother.
The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious.
Yeah, I like this verse because I used to be a hunter. So the slothful man, he ain't going to roast no meat. Why, brother?
It's not really that precious to him. He kind of is just like, well, I got it, but I'm not really going to bother doing that right now.
Yeah, and I also kind of think of it as the slothful man might not even went out hunting. What do you think?
It does say that which he took in.
Yeah, hunting. I guess, yeah, that's true. He's slothful, I think, of lazy. Roasteth not, but still, couldn't it mean that? The lazy man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, meaning... Yeah, I guess it does.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know. It could go either way. Yeah, it could go either way. It's kind of like you won't store up what you grow, what you didn't plant in your field, or you won't store up what you got from your field or something like that because you didn't even plant. But I'm not sure. It could be either way. But the slothful man roasteth not which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Interesting. Substance.
I like that.
Yeah, what does that substance word mean? Wealth and riches. Enough. I like that.
It's like when you're working hard day after day after day, I think about, because like the Lord is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I think about if you're diligently seeking the Lord every day and asking for wisdom, the wisdom that he gives you is so precious.
It's Amen.
Like, but when you see these intellectual people going to these seminaries and learning all this fleshly wisdom and whatnot, it's like, that's not really that precious to them, I guess. I don't know. It's like, there's a certain sort of like precious pearl attached to the wisdom of God because you're diligently seeking it. I really like that.
Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah, and I like that diligent. Hebrews 11, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. So I love how the Old Testament always like laced all through the New Testament. They use either direct quotes or they use teachings and mindset and wisdom from it, don't they?
Yeah, amen.
And 28, the last verse, brother.
And the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death.
Yeah, this one I got to think of John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There's no death in those that follow after and obey Christ. We have death. Where is thy sting? We have no fear of the life to come and eternity because of what Christ has done for us. Amen, brother?
Amen. And I like how it says, in the way of righteousness is life. We're walking on a way, whether you like to admit it or not, people say, I don't have to do nothing, or Jesus did it all for I mean, you're walking on one of two ways, either the way of death or the way of life. And if you're not following after the Lord, walking in the light, you're walking in the way of death. So you have to be walking on one path, and the way of righteousness is life if you're walking in the light, and that's a beautiful thing.
Amen. I love the way you said that. It's a way, and then right after it says, and the pathway. And that pathway thereof, yep, there is no doubt. So we're on a way, we're on the pathway. It's a verb. We're moving, we're walking. What do you do on a way, and what do you do on a path? You move, you walk, you follow. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. So we're following the way of righteousness, which is being led by Christ, his word and his spirit, and we also live a righteous life. You can't live an unrighteous life and claim righteousness in Christ. The two are totally opposed, just like we've seen all through this whole chapter, all through Proverbs. Righteousness and wickedness is opposed. No person can claim the two of the same. Walk in them and expect to be, you can't expect to be in God and practice wickedness and expect to be deemed righteous, can you, brother?
No, you can't. Read 1 John.
Yep.
Read 1 John for that one. I've been studying 1 John, and that explains that perfectly.
Yeah, I love it. Christ is our resurrection and our life, and in that pathway there is no death of it. Glory to God for that, my brother.
Amen.
Anything else on Proverbs 12?
Nope, we covered it really well.
Awesome. Yeah, we did. Good job, brother. We'll leave it right there. This will be in the Ecclesia gathering area to edify everybody else that listens in. God be praised.